Bibles. Thank you, Sister Faith. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians in chapter 4. Colossians chapter number 4. Let's look at that verse again. We looked at it last Sunday morning, but let's go in a different direction with it. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible here speaks about a pastor's heart. And I can honestly say this is my thoughts and my heart for you and my actions for you as well. Where he has the man's name here, Epaphras, you could put Pastor Hooch right here. In Colossians 4, verse number 12, the Bible says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Now that statement alone means that he has respect for you. And he says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. And what is your pastor praying about? What is it that is on his heart daily that he continues to pray with each one of you individually about? He says it's that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And that word all, it encompasses every single area of your life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, my meat is to do his will. You know what meat will do for you? Number one, it will strengthen you. Number two, it will satisfy you. Jesus said, my meat is to do his will. Do you want to be strengthened? You want to be satisfied? You want to be content? Pursue the perfect will of God in all areas of your life. Now, last Sunday, I spoke to you about in Colossians 4, six times he mentions in six different verses about the subject of being thankful and the greatness of gratitude. But today, you'll notice in chapter number 4, I want to focus on this area. Now, it is the will of God, you know, that you be thankful. You do understand that correctly? For this is the will of God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But there's something else here. You'll notice in chapter number 4 and verse number 5, six times he mentions the word thankful and thanksgiving. Four times he mentions this word. In chapter 4, verse number 5, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Would you look in chapter 3 and look in verse number 16. Notice it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In all wisdom. Look in chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and our wealth and riches in him. It says in chapter 2, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look in chapter number 1 with me, please, in verse number 9. Not only was the pastor of this church, I believe, praying for them about this, but the missionary, the apostle, Paul, in chapter 1, verse 9. Notice what he says in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I want to observe some facts for you this morning that will help you. I believe this morning each one of you, no doubt, probably need, well, I'm saying no doubt, not probably. There is no doubt many of you are facing circumstances or situations in your life where that you need the wisdom of God, because life is always changing and it's always challenging. It's always about seasons of life and circumstances, always. But let me give you a few facts. Number one, the God that you came today to worship, the one true and living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible refers to him as God all wise. The Bible refers to him as being all wise. Let me ask you a question. If you have children, do you desire for your children to walk in wisdom or as fools? Obviously, the answer would be that you want your son and your daughters to be wise. Well, why wouldn't your heavenly Father desire that? And if you had the opportunity to grant wisdom unto your son or your daughter, would you not do so if they came to you and asked you for it? And so is your heavenly Father. You don't have to talk him this morning into being good concerning this matter. He wants you to be wise. There's something else about that, is that when you understand about the thing about wisdom, is that he may simply transfer his wisdom directly to you through prayer. That when you ask him for wisdom sometimes, he will grant this to you. But here's what you have to do, though. You have to be willing to approach him and ask him for it and believe that he wants you to have it and that he will grant it. In other words, it's not about your faith and your faithfulness. It's about him and his faithfulness. Sarah, her faith was described like this in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 when God told her that she was going to have a child. She said, and the Bible says, she judged him. She judged him as being faithful. You have a court in your mind on a regular basis. You make judgment calls all the time. And God doesn't mind you putting him in court, as long as you look at all the facts. And when you examine all the facts, you'll find that God has always been faithful. And God will keep his promises. And she judged him as saying, he is able. And I will judge him as faithful. And so when you seek the wisdom of God about a matter, remember this, God wants you to have it more than you want to have it. And second of all, if God grants it to you, God then also, if he doesn't give it to you through prayer, he may transfer it to you by people who do have it. Now, I know how we are. We'd rather just get it directly from God so we wouldn't have to ask anybody or listen to anybody. I'd rather God grant it to me in the prayer closet than God have me sit across the table from somebody and them have to give me some instruction and correction in my life. But you know what the Bible says? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. So you got to determine who you're going to let influence you. But once you do receive some of the wisdom from God, God then wants to use you to transfer that to the people that come to you or that you have impact and influence on. He doesn't intend for you to hoard it. He intends for you to share it once he gives it to you in your life, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, that we may be fruitful in everything. And the result would be that God would personally bless you and increase you in the knowledge of God and make you stronger in your inner man, that you might become, by the way, the wiser you get, the more patient you become. The more foolish you are, the more impatient you are. You want to see the hand of God work? You're going to have to slow down and be patient. God doesn't work on your timetable. And the more wise you become, the more long-suffering you become with people. And not only that, as we heard in Sunday school, it will come with it some joy, knowing that God is at work and God will be faithful. Now, I want you to turn with me to James, please. I want you to look with me in chapter number 3. We're going to study a few things in the book of James this morning that we just wanted to use the book of Colossians as the subject of being in the will of God. And James chapter number 3, if you are a foolish young man, if you are a foolish young lady, you are not in the will of God. God does not want you to be a fool. He doesn't want you to be fleshly. He wants you to be wise. I want you to turn to James chapter 3 with me. The reason why that you need the wisdom of God, whether you recognize it or not, is because life circumstances are going to change. And there's going to be some situations that are out of your control. And you're going to need to know, what God, what do you expect me to do? Because I can't control everybody else around me. What do you expect me to do? As a teenager, as a mother, as an employee, as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather. It seems like every time I feel like I got a handle on a season in life, the season changes. Let's take David, for example. The Bible says that when he was taken out of the pasture and put in the palace, the scripture says in 1 Samuel 18, after he had slain Goliath and was put there in the palace, the Bible says four times in 1 Samuel 18 that David behaved himself wisely, very wisely, and more wisely. In other words, it seems like the further he went in this change of life, in these circumstances, that he needed more wisdom each day. And then I think about Solomon, when God sometimes calls you to do something and you feel like that the challenge is too great for you. The Bible says that Solomon, when we went before the Lord and the Lord said, what would you like for me to give you? His attitude was, he says, I am but a little child. He said, I don't know how to go out or come in. He said, please grant unto me wisdom and understanding. I want to say that when circumstances come your way, you're going to need the wisdom of God. And when life's calling is greater than what you feel like you can do, you need the wisdom of God. And then there's going to be life's challenges. I call them in changes, because death comes and can turn your world upside down. Divorce comes. Diseases invade our bodies. Division occurs in families. Maybe you're changing your career. Maybe your family is in great stress. Maybe your marriage is under attack. Maybe you're a teenager and you're disillusioned and disappointed in the things that you see. But I will say this. You're going to need some wisdom from God. And here's a principle that I hang on to. Brother Tierbach and I hang on to it. We have used it many years. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. You'll find it. That means you've got to be looking for it. There's a couple of things about that verse. He that handleth a matter wisely. He's handling the matter. He's not passive about it. He is trying to find out, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? He that handles the matter wisely shall find good. And he that trusts in the Lord, happy is he. I like that word good. And I like that word happy. I do not like being sad. I like being glad. I was glad when they said unto me, but let's go into the house of the Lord. He didn't say he was mad. He didn't say he was sad. He said he was glad. Now, life is going to bring sadness. It's going to come. But you don't need to dwell there. And so the Lord can help you with these things. So, what I want to show you this morning out of the book of James, I think that everybody in here needs a little bit more wisdom than you got right now. Some of you need a whole lot more wisdom than you got right now. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is able to help you. You know, you ever read that passage over? I think it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where he talks about, for every time there's a season, there's a time to embrace, a time to refrain from it. All kinds of seasons of life. What do I do here in this situation, Lord? What would you have me to do today? What would you have me to do now in these circumstances? Well, I want you to look in chapter number 3. If you have asked God for wisdom and God has granted it to you through prayer, that's awesome. If you have not yet been given some insight from the Word and from the Spirit on what to do, or maybe from some other way that God has conveyed this to you, more than likely, He is going to do it rather than doing it in this direction, most of the time it's going to come from this direction. I guess I would have to ask you, again as we heard in Sunday school this morning, that God has planted around you some people that can help you. The question is, do you want help? Okay, and then number two, can you recognize the people who can actually help you? Can you recognize a wise man and a wise woman? And how would you measure that? How would you be able to recognize in this congregation who are the wise and who are the more wise? Well, let's look in chapter number 3. Look in verse number 13. I want to apply this to both men and women. The Bible says, who is a wise man? Can I also say, who is a wise woman? How would you recognize that? Can you recognize that? You got to be very careful of just going to your friends. You got to be very careful about people who are always telling you what you want to hear. The people who tell you what you want to hear because they're afraid to lose you as a friend are not wise. A wise person is willing to lose you as a friend in order to help you. There'll be a risk factor right there in being honest with you. You'll notice in verse number 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? If I ask you to write down this morning at East River Baptist Church, or maybe some other people outside your church that go to church, I would say if they don't go to church, I wouldn't say I'd seek much counsel from them. Amen? But inside your own congregation and in other congregations, there'll dwell a few people who are exceedingly wise. And many times God has them in your life. The problem is that sometimes you don't recognize them or you don't go to them. All right, now notice it says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Okay? And you know, again, let's talk about a wise woman. You know, the Bible says a wise woman builds her house. A foolish woman, she'll tear it down with her own hands. She'll self-destruct. Whereas a wise woman is always building her house. Always building, always progressing, always going forward, trying to be a better wife and a better mother. And just trying to be a godly woman. And so is the wise man. He's an asset. He is somebody who is always trying to add to his life. He's always learning, always teachable, always growing, always a student, always. You'll notice in our text here that I see three major marks here of somebody that's wise. I would say, first of all, if I'm going to go to somebody for some counsel in this church, or another church, and I do go outside sometimes. Sometimes I will call upon certain men that are pastors and say, hey, I need to talk to you for a little while. Can I? Can I bounce this off of you? What do you see? Because sometimes you don't consider some things. Sometimes I don't consider some things. Sometimes there are blind spots, and sometimes we don't want counsel because we've already made up our mind what we're going to do. It is very difficult for me to help you once you have already made up your mind what you are going to do, and then you come to me for counsel, but you've already made up your mind. It's very difficult once you make a decision and you're going in a certain direction, and then later you seek counsel. So let's look at this. Number one, if I'm seeking good, godly wisdom, I'm looking for a praying man or a praying woman. Now, here's what I mean by that. I'm not talking about what Jesus said. He said, don't be as the hypocrites who stand out in the street corner and who say things outwardly in their prayers, but they're not having an impact with God. And he said, don't be like the heathen who have their vain repetitions and they think that they'll be heard for their much speaking. I'm not talking about people like that. I'm looking for somebody that knows how to get a hold of God. I'm looking for somebody who knows how to approach the throne and who's, according to what James said in chapter number 5, like Elijah, who is a person who is effectual in their prayer life. That's what I'm looking for. Now look over in chapter number 1 with me and I'll show you why I say that, okay? But first of all, if I'm going to talk to somebody who's got some wisdom, where did they get their wisdom? How did they get their wisdom? Well, I think that, number one, they're a praying person and they've gone to God and they've asked God for wisdom and they've trusted God for wisdom and God has responded to that person and granted them some understanding. I'm looking for that person. Now they're not going to be the normal carnal Christian. Look in chapter 1, verse number 1. And by the way, I'm not going to give you some things that are impossible here. These are things that should be normal. Look in chapter number 1. Look with me, please, in this. Look in verse number 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if I'm going to a man or a woman to seek some counsel and some wisdom, I need to know, do they have a steady, effective prayer life with God? And God is answering some of their prayers, and God has granted to them some understanding and some wisdom that is beyond mine. I'm looking for that person. I'm looking for that person. We need people like that. And by the way, can I say to you that prayer is not informing God of your need. It is involving God in your need. And you are asking God for this. I need people like this. They're not doubtful. I like to talk to people who trust the Lord. They are not doubtful and they are not double-minded. I'm thinking of a couple of men even right now in my heart. I think about Brother Bevins Welder, a man of faith in Corpus Christi. I think about Brother Ron Ralph in Carthage, Tennessee. I think about Brother Ed Tierbach. I think about good men who believe God and who believe that God can and who have some wisdom about them and their life. All right? Look at the second thing in chapter 3 and verse number 13. If you're going to talk to a woman in the church, make sure that she knows how to talk to God before she talks to you. You understand? If you're going to talk to a woman about what's going on in your life, be sure they know how to talk to God and God talks back to them. That they truly have a prayer life and they really trust the Lord and they fear God and they believe that God is able. Then look in chapter 3 and verse number 13 again. Who is a wise man or woman endued with knowledge among you? Not only do I'm looking for a praying man or woman, but I'm looking for a prudent man or woman. Did you know the Bible says the wise in heart shall be called prudent? Did you know that a prudent man and a prudent woman deals with knowledge? What does that mean? Well, it says in verse number 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Did you know a wise person, if you approach a wise person for counsel, did you know that instead of giving you the answer right away, which is usually not always good, they will usually ask you some questions first. You know why they're asking you questions first? See, this is why a lot of people don't want to seek wisdom from a wise person, because they don't want to be asked any questions. They don't want to be asked any personal, probing questions. But a prudent man deals with knowledge. What that means is, I need some facts. I don't need your spin on this situation. And your feelings, which are important to me, but that's not what determines this. It is what are the facts in this situation. Okay? And so a prudent man understands that everything, number one, is not as it appears. Can you get through that? It's not always as it appears. And number two, it's not always as it is reported. So you have to get past all of that in order to give good counsel to somebody about their marriage, about their money, about their children, about their whatever it is, whatever you want to put out there that you need God to help you with, you need to look at this. Verse number 13, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Listen to this. A wise man is always seeking after knowledge. Knowledge. Wisdom is always seeking after knowledge. Knowledge does not always seek after wisdom. You can be an educated fool without wisdom from God. You have to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. See, here's where sometimes you trust in the wisdom of man. This is where the real danger comes in. Because Paul wrote to the Corinthians chapter 1, 2, and 3. He's constantly bombarding them and warning them for three chapters. Jews seek after a sign. Gentiles and Greeks, they seek after wisdom. Now this wisdom that he's talking about, understand, is not the wisdom of God. It is a wisdom of the world. In other words, whereas a Jew wants a sign, you want an explanation. And you depend more upon the campuses of education than you do the churches where there's illumination that comes from God. And so you will then, when you have a problem with your marriage, you have a problem with your finances, you have a problem with a relationship in your family, whatever, you will seek, or even in your own personal life, you will seek out somebody who has a number of degrees behind their name because you're more comfortable with what they have been trained in worldly schools than you do in the Word of God and the fear of God. It doesn't mean that the wise person has no education, but it's possible the educated person has no wisdom and does not understand the difference in the body, the soul, and the spirit. And it's very difficult, regardless of how smart you are, if you don't believe in the inherent nature of sin and how wicked and deceitful the heart can be. It's going to be very difficult to you to come up with an obvious long-term solution. And if you're always making excuses for people's behavior, you're not looking for the root. You're only wanting to deal with the fruit that's going on in your life. That's why the wisdom of God is hidden in Christ Jesus. He is able to help you in all areas of life. He mentions these phrases. Talking about a prudent man. He warns them about the wisdom. I'm going to use the terms that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. 1, 2, and 3. Wisdom of man, enticing words of man's wisdom, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise. How about that? God's not impressed with all the American universities that are turning out idiots and fools who don't even know who's a male or a female. Do you understand? And so you trust in some psychobabble than you do in what the Bible says, that God made male and female. Amen. And you want them to counsel you? They don't even know which bathroom to use? Do you understand how foolish that is? But you'll notice he always deals with the facts. He always deals with the facts. Number 3. Look with me in chapter 3. Verse number 13. Who is a wise man? And he do. He's a praying person, a praying man or woman. I'm talking about really knows how and does pray. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you're a praying person, your heart's tender toward God, sensitive to sin, you're going to clothe yourself with humility because you don't want God to resist you. You'll be very tender toward the Lord. That's the kind of person I'm looking for. Not an arrogant, proud, demanding person who before I could even get my words out of my mouth, they already have a solution when they haven't even heard all of my problem yet. Oh, who interrupts me while I'm trying to share my heart with them? Try to finish my sentences for me while I'm trying to share my heart with them. When they're not even really listening, they're more interested in telling me than they are in listening to what I have to say in my heart. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? And notice, not only is a praying man and a prudent man, but notice something very important here. They will be a pure man and a pure woman. Now here's how you can really now begin to recognize them in your congregation. He said, let him show out of a good conversation. Now that word conversation, is that about always talking? No. It's about his lifestyle, right? His disposition, his decisions, the way he carries himself. His conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. And you'll notice down in verse number 17, he said, but the wisdom that is from above is first. What's the next word? Pure. Pure. All right, let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about the pure man and the pure woman. Verse 15, verse 17. If you ever get a hold of this, now you can start your building in your life of obtaining the wisdom of God. It is recognizing that there are two kinds of wisdom. Verse 15 says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's the source and the fruit in verse 16, where there's envy and strife, confusion, and every evil work. Look at verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, and that's what God wants to grant every one of you today, is first of all, it's pure. It comes from above because it comes from God, and it's going to be godly in nature and in disposition. It's going to be peaceable. That just simply means that he's looking to find peace where there's conflict, if possible. He's looking to resolve a situation. Gentle, easy to be entreated. That means approachable. Full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Would you say that's godly? Would you say that's like the God that you know? Would you say that's like the Lord Jesus Christ? But let's look at a couple of things here real quick. First of all, you'll notice here about that man or that woman, you will notice their attitude. Let me stop here just a minute. You gotta quit just going to people because you like their personality. Or you got to understand that there's people God's put around you that maybe there's some quirks in their personality. Maybe there's something about them that just irritates you. But brother, you know, if I have, and by the way, Brother Doug, is he here? Okay, Brother Doug, I love you and appreciate you, brother, so this is no throw at you. But if I had a plumbing problem, and Brother Doug's personality irritated me, but my sewage is backed up for 3 days, I'm going to get past my irritation and I'm going to call him to come fix my plumbing. And if you're having some circumstances and situations and you're not able to fix them, and God's put some people in your life and you say, you know what, I'd rather suffer through this and ask them for help. I don't like them. And yet, they've done nothing to you. You just don't like them. Did you know that some people do not go unto the wise? They won't go unto the wise. Did you know that a scornful man will not go unto a wise man, lest his heart, I'm paraphrasing this, Brother Brad, but lest his heart be discovered. In other words, if I were to come to you for wisdom, and I say, here's what's going on, and you start asking me questions, and I'm thinking everybody else is the problem, and you look at me and you say, brother, they're not the problem. You're the problem. That would be painful. Did you know the words of the wise are as goads? Goads are like sharp sticks, and sometimes they will... But the reason why God does that is because it pushes you in a different direction. The reason why that shepherd would do that to that sheep is because he wanted them to change their direction. So in the shepherd, or should I say the false shepherd, is the guy that's going to pet the sheep and said, I'm sorry somebody hurt your feelings. You just keep going the direction what you feel is best. God will go with you. You follow your heart. Well, that's dumb advice. Do you understand? Because most of the time, when you seek after the wisdom of God, somewhere along the line in that counsel is going to be something that is going to hurt you for a moment. I didn't say wound you. I said hurt you for a moment. It's going to be temporary. Okay? Now look at this. We're talking about pure men and women. Look at the difference here. Look in verse number 14. You'll notice the difference in their attitudes. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Wow. He's saying if you want some wisdom from God, you're going to have to open up your heart. You're going to have to be willing to be honest with yourself and to let somebody else be completely, brutally honest with you. By the way, a wise man doesn't want to be brutally honest with you. He wants to be gently honest with you. Okay? And the Bible says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. See the attitude here. In verse 13, you've got somebody with meekness. Whereas in verse 14 and 15, you've got somebody with pride and haughtiness and an absence of humility. Look at this attitude. By the way, verse number 13, talking about meekness of wisdom. Talking about godly women who build their house, talking about wise women. That's very similar to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Where the woman who carries out her conversation with her husband has such an impact on him that she can actually make him a better man. And she does that with meekness and quietness in her spirit. James chapter number 3, do you know what that whole chapter is about before you get to the wisdom of God? It's about your tongue. And it's about talking. It's about how that the tongue is set on fire of hell. And the wiser you are, the less you talk. I'm going to hurt some of you, but I'm not going to wound you. It depends on your pride, I guess. But some of you ladies, you believe me when I tell you from the Bible that you should have a meek and a quiet spirit, and you say amen to it, and you still talk as much as you did last year. You have not slowed down one bit. You have to always comment about everything or question everything. Your husband does not want to come home from work and have to banter with you and have him challenged on every conversation and every word that comes out of his mouth. You say, yeah, but I know better. I'm smarter than he is. This is where meekness comes in. Meekness comes in and say, yep, I'm smarter than him. I'm smarter than her. But they haven't asked me. You know, I got a watch. Do I go around telling you what time it is the whole time you're here at church? Do you understand? But if I ask you what time it is, would you tell me what time it is? I think you would. If you're a wise woman, you will slow down. Well, I know this ain't popular. But you ladies, you want some godly counsel? Don't go to the women in this congregation that are always talking. I'm not talking about when you walk in the door and you're saying, hello, good to see you, God bless you. I don't want you to come in the door and just sit there and go, preacher told me not to talk. Bible says, be quiet. I'm telling you to be quiet. Leave me alone. No. We're talking about when you dismiss and you go your own ways. You go to your homes, you get around each other. Don't go to a woman who is always, always, always verbalizing her opinion about everything. She is a foolish woman. She wears out her husband. She's always challenging him and questioning him on every decision that he makes. I'm not talking about ladies if he's fixing to drive the bus off the cliff. Do you understand? And then there are men. Because of their bitterness and their envy, same thing with women. That bitter and that envying is always causing strife and division in the family and in the church. Because they're thinking carnally. They're not thinking long term. They're not thinking. They're looking for something to fix the day, fix the moment, fix the emotion, fix the situation right now. Not what's best long term. That's why he says this. Verse 14. But you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not, lie not against the truth. That word bitterness. Your words are sharp. They're cruel. They're piercing. They're hurtful. They're reproachful. That envy. You're discontented inwardly at the progress, the success, and the happiness of others in the church. That strife, you're always contentious, quarrelsome, and in a conflict. You bring confusion, and you breed confusion. That's a state of disorder and chaos and instability. This kind of person is always murmuring and complaining and critical and slanders others and lies. That is not a wise person, do you understand? Don't go to them. The Bible says a scorner liveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. If you go talk to him, he's going to say some things that are going to hurt your feelings. Well, I'm not going to go to him then. That's like, look, I'm sick, and they tell me, don't go to that doctor because he's going to take a needle. He's going to poke you with it. Well, I ain't going there. No way. I'm going to a doctor somewhere that's going to give me a lollipop that's got the medicine in it. And that's what's happening in our churches today. They want lollipop preachers. And they want lollipop preaching. Smooth things. So, do you understand watch now. Look at the opposite of this though. Wow, this is so good. Talking about a wise man? Well, you look at this now. This is so good. Look at his attitude. It's one of humility and honesty. He fears the Lord. He's transparent. He'll be honest with you. He won't be brutal with you, but he'll be honest with you. But look at his actions. Notice in verse number 15, the wisdom that descends not from above is earthly. What does that mean? Well, it just means it's always temporary counsel. Let's fix it right there at the moment. Let's make you feel better for the moment. It's sensual. It's about your feelings and your pleasure and your desires. Not what God wants, it's what you want. And devilish, that's prideful, self-centered. It's what you want. It's not being spiritually minded. But look at the other guy and the other woman from above. Here's a godly man, a godly woman, a wise man, a wise woman. The Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That means just simply, I can approach him and I can approach her. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality. I know they're going to tell me what I need to hear. I know they're my friend, and what a blessing it is to have friends that are wise. I try to have wise friends who will tell me the truth without partiality and without hypocrisy. You understand? This is what you're looking for. Now, this morning as we close, here's what you can do in this service. Number one, to obtain the wisdom of God. Number one, you can choose in your heart right now to fear God, because the beginning of wisdom starts with the fear of God. Number two, you could come to this altar this morning and ask God for it, believing that He will grant it to you in your situation. Number three, if God does not grant it to you specifically from this direction, then place yourself in this position to be able to receive it. Ask Him to lay upon your heart who you need to seek counsel from, and recognize those who have some of that wisdom. And then prepare yourself to receive it. And then when God grants it to you, embrace it, use it, apply it. And then when somebody around you recognizes that you've got a little bit of sense and they ask you your advice, and God nudges your heart and say, well, here's what I see, pass it on. Pass it on when you're asked. When you're asked. Most of the time, wait till you're asked. Sometimes you have to intervene, because there are sometimes too many things at stake. And the Bible says, for all of us, let no man deceive himself. If a man seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. The Bible says the will of God is that you walk in wisdom toward them that are without. A child of God should be walking in a manner that renders them answers and to their questions, solutions to their problems, help when they are hurting, so that those who are without God will be able to get some help by watching you. God is able to help you today. Whatever's troubling you, whatever decision you've got to make, make sure you're not basing it on temporary happiness, but on what is the will of God long term. The Bible says the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the wise man built his house upon the rock. And the Bible says that wise man heard the word of God and obeyed it, and did what the Bible says. Do you fear God today? Do you need some wisdom in a particular place in your life? Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I have done what you've told me to do. I pray they would receive it, and they would mix faith with it, and yield themselves and clothe themselves with humility and honesty, and be like Solomon and say, I am but a little child. Sometimes, Father, I don't know how to go out or come in. This situation is too big for me. Grant me, Father, wisdom of how to handle my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, my dad, my mother, my in-laws, my co-workers, my brother in Christ at church. God, give me the wisdom I need that I would please you in this matter. You said, you promised, if I would handle it wisely, I could find good. I pray there'd be some Christians here who will seek wisdom from above, knowing you will grant it. In Jesus' name. Their heads bowed.